This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, back this week with another 60 minutes of radio drama. We'll hear first this time from I Fly Anything, an episode titled Destination Tahiti, from March 27th, 1951. Then it's Believe It or Not with Loyal Soldier. We'll finish off with The Whistler and The Man Who Bought Death, his episode from May 21st, 1945.
Presenting Dick Hames as Dockery Crane in I Fly Anything.
Flight 743 calling LaGuardia Tower. Requesting landing instructions, please. Over.
LaGuardia Tower to 743 VFR conditions here. Enter pattern at 3,000 feet and take runway 13. Is that you, Crane?
Yeah, it's me, Dockery Crane.
What are you bringing in? Tea, teak, or teepee poles?
Oh, you're way off, Buster. I got a trade wind tan, a tall tale about a tribal treasure, a tropical tramp, and a torrid Tahitian tomato. You know me. I fly anything.
The American Broadcasting Company presents Dick Hames as a fast-moving, hard-hitting, romantic air cargo pilot, Dockery Crane, in I Fly Anything.
Anything for us, June?
Not unless you're interested in the fact that it's raining in Chicago with a visibility of 500 feet.
I'm not. I'm only interested in something that sounds like a job.
Oh, stop it, Dockery. You just came in from a flight 2 days ago.
Well,
how restless can you get?
Plenty. When the weather gets as balmy as this.
Yeah, same here, Doc. Old spring fever's got me in his spell.
Well, that one I'll buy. Makes you want to climb into a swimsuit and head for the beach.
Well, slip on your Catalina, Wilhelmina, and let's go play in the surf.
We could do it if we were down in Havana right now.
Yeah, or in Acapulco.
Or the South Seas.
Hey, someone's coming in.
But instead, here we sit, waiting for a call like bellhops on a hotel bench.
That's right, I saw Scott.
Servants of the public, common carriers, scavengers in the marts of trade.
Dockery, I don't know how you do it. You're the luckiest man alive.
You mean it stopped raining in Chicago?
No, it's a job. Will you fly 3,700 pounds of diving equipment to Pierre Duvier in Papeete, Tahiti?
Tahiti? Yes.
Transportation charge of COD.
Oh.
Well, according to this, Duvier's credit references are A1.
Well, then what's to argue about? We'll take it.
I see now. We could refuel at Mexico City.
Yeah, and land at Clipperton Island for a checkover, refuel again at the Marquesas.
And on into Papeete. Hey, that's a fair chunk of flying, Doc.
Well, we're a fair pair of flyers. June, I am off to the South Seas. Pack up some trade beads and a bundle of sarong.
Oh, fine. How about a ukulele?
Sure, put one in. You know me, honey. I fly anything.
Bora Bora is right below us, Doc. That must be Tahiti coming over the horizon.
Oh, that's her, all right. Oh, she's beautiful, isn't she, Buzz?
Man.
Oh, like money in the bank.
Hey, and look at that ocean down there, Doc. It's not just blue, it's blue.
Yeah. I used to know a girl in London with eyes that color.
I wish I knew a girl in Tahiti with eyes.
You will. They call these the Friendly Islands, you know.
You wouldn't kid a guy, would you?
Cross my heart, hope to drop a prop. You know, there's only one thing that worries me.
Yeah, what's that?
Pierre Duvier. C-O-D.
Oh, there's no chance of him not paying us, Doc?
Or is there? I don't know. We've got a hatful of bucks laid out on this flight, and I'd sure hate to lose him.
Oh, yeah, but he wouldn't. I mean, if he didn't... Doc, I was feeling fine. Now, why did you have to bring that up?
Yeah.
Ginger blossoms and wild oranges. Buzz, we are living.
Bonjour, messieurs. Welcome to Papiete.
Oh, thanks.
Your papers, if you please, messieurs.
Oh, yeah. Here you are.
Merci, monsieur. And the passports, oui, and the paper of consignment. To Monsieur Pierre Duvier, Papiette, eh?
Well, what's the trouble?
But Monsieur Duvier has filed no import permit for this cargo, and of course there is a matter of the custom duties.
Oh, no.
All of which means exactly what?
That the cargo must not be removed from the plane until the proper arrangements are made by Monsieur Duvier.
Well, where is he? Why isn't he here?
Who can say, monsieur?
Well, where could I find him?
Well, that is difficult. Sometimes in one place, sometimes in another.
Look. Where does he live?
In Papiette, I believe, or somewhere.
Oh, fine.
Perhaps at Queen's Hut, someone could tell you, monsieur.
Queen's Hut?
Oui, it is a famous, like you say, cabaret, a nightclub.
Hey, I think we ought to try it, Doc.
Mais oui, everyone in the islands goes there, monsieur.
Then who am I to flout tradition? Let's go to Queen's Hut.
Well, what do we do now, Doc?
Well, have another brandy swizzle, I suppose. It's about as practical as anything else I can think of.
Yeah, I just don't get his angle. What can he gain by it?
I know what we can lose by it. If he doesn't show up, we'll have to fly that diving equipment back to New York and stand the whole cost of the trip.
And man, what cost?
You said it.
If we... Hey, Doc, look what's moving in on us.
Huh? Oh. The way I heard it, the old-time beachcomber is extinct.
Well, this one looks like he ought to be.
Ahoy there, laddies. You won't mind if an old fella sits and rests his feet a spell now, will you?
Well, we were just about
to... My name's Bill, laddies. Benedict Bill. Came to the islands before I had my second teeth. Know every reef and atoll from here to Borneo and back.
Yeah, well, that's swell.
What's that you're drinking, laddie? Rum? Rum. Now, I'd be right proud to join you in a spot of rum, if you so mind.
All right. How about a little information first, though?
Anything, laddie, from the beauty of the women in Bahini to the breeding of turtles in Rarotonga.
Well, I'll tell you. We're looking for a man named Pierre Duvier, and I wondered
Duvier.
If maybe... Yeah, do you know him?
No, I never heard of him, laddie. I just saw an old friend of mine there. He's leaving. Sorry, some other time. Much obliged, anyway.
Who pulled his chair?
I don't know, Buzz... But I'm getting fed up with it. I'm going to find Duvier and collect that COD charge if I have to...
What's the matter, Doc?
Well, I was going to say if I have to dig up the whole island.
Oh, you don't think he's been...
I don't know. I hope not.
You know, it gets me the way they put up buildings down here, Doc. This thing's more like an oversized bungalow than a hotel.
Well, in a climate like this, who cares? Oh, here we are. 21.
And they sure feed you, though. What a meal.
Yeah, and at what a price. Hey, can you find that light switch, Buzz?
Yeah, sure. I think it's along his... Yeah. Hey, Doc, look.
Yeah, I see it.
Well, what happened?
Well, somebody's been going through our luggage, that's all. And thoroughly.
Hey, Doc... I think we've got a bear by the tail.
We've got something. And all the odds are on the other side. We don't know who it is, why they're doing it, anything.
And all I wanted was a tropical weekend with plenty... Well, Doc?
Look. Get on the other side of the door. When I open it, we'll grab him first and ask questions later.
I got you, Dad.
Okay.
Right.
Got him, Buzz. Now grab the other... Well.
Oh, let go of me at once, monsieur.
Wowee.
Well, I'm sorry, honey. We were... Well, I guess we were expecting somebody else.
Oh, such a way to act with a girl.
Well, it was fun, though, while it lasted. Oh, I'm Dockery Crane, and this is Buzz Simpson. Would you like to come in?
Merci, monsieur.
I didn't quite catch your name, miss.
It was said at Queen's that you are looking for Pierre Duvier. So I have come to... What has occurred here?
Oh, we always throw our clothes around the room this way. It prevents mildew, you know. What about Pierre Duvier?
I am looking for him also.
Oh?
He's my brother. I am Lana Duvier.
Oh. Well, what's happened to him, Lana?
I don't know, monsieur. He has disappeared from his lodgings almost a week now. But his schooner is still in the harbor. I don't know.
What is he, a deep sea diver?
No, he is a trader. Monsieur Crane, I'm so frightened. I know something evil has been done to him.
Now, wait a second, Lana. Wait a minute. Look, do you happen to know a beachcomber named Benedict Bill?
Oh, oui, but I do not
know where he lives.
Mais oui, in a little hut by the harbor.
Now, let's go see him.
Well, I don't think he'll talk. Die, you're scared of that.
I know, Buzz, but I've got kind of an idea. It starts with a big bottle of rum.
Let's see now, laddie. That was back in about, let me see now, 1908. That's when it was. It was in the Solomon Islands.
Yeah. Well, look, what about Pierre Duvier now, Bill? Where was it you said we could find him?
I didn't say nothing about Duvier. He's a good lad, but I didn't say nothing about it.
Oh, well now. You wouldn't call me a liar, would you, Bill?
Oh, I wouldn't even think of it, laddie. Why, you're the finest. And your partner, too.
Yeah.
What I must have said was I saw him carry him on board.
Yeah. Maybe that was it, come to think of it. And what'd you say their names were?
Jago and Trader Joe.
Oh.
You forget all about that now.
Sure.
Get my throat cut for telling anybody about that. Trader Joe's a mean one, laddie. Now, like I was telling you, back in... Oh, let me see, what year was that?
And what happened after they carried him on board, Bill?
Nothing happened. They just sailed out of the harbor and didn't come back. Now, what I
was saying... One night about a week ago?
About,
was that when it was?
When what was, laddie?
When Trader Joe sailed out of the harbor.
Nobody saw him but me. Dark night. Cut my throat if he thought I told anybody.
How can he, Bill? He sailed away and didn't come back.
He's back all right, laddie. Saw him early this evening, sneaking around like a... Why are you asking me all these questions about Trader Joe?
What questions, Bill?
You won't get nothing out of me about that. Not a single word. No, like I was telling you.
Buzz,
let's see. What
I'll be outside
year
with Lana. See if you can get him to bed.
All right, Doc. Right, you lucky dog. Hey, come on, Bill. Time for all old salts to go Betty by now.
What's the matter, laddie? Is that you,
Dickory? Yeah.
It took so long, I became worried.
Well, he finally talked, though. Lana, do you know a man named Trader Joe?
Mais oui. He trades with his schooner in the Windward Isles.
And how about a man named Tego?
Oui. He's a native from Gambier. They are both very bad men.
Well, get a hold of yourself, honey. Because Benedict Bill saw them kidnap your brother one night last week and take him away on a schooner.
I knew it was something very evil, Dockery.
Well, do you know why they might have done it?
Oui. It was because of the pearls.
Pearls?
Oh, Dockery, there is no one else I can trust.
All right, honey, trust me then, huh?
3 months ago, Pierre found a place where a ship was wrecked many years ago. It was called the Royalist, and it was carrying pearls to France when it disappeared.
Oh, and that's why he wanted the diving equipment.
Mais oui. But where the wreck is located, he would not even tell me. He knew there would be danger if other people heard about it.
Well, apparently Trader Joe and Tego did hear about it.
But, Doc, what can we do to... Oh, I'm forgetting. I'm being very foolish. Of course, it is not your trouble.
Don't kid yourself. I've got a COD charge to collect. It seems the only way to do it is to find Pierre.
Oh, but, Doc, I cannot tell you how I feel... But I can show you.
Show me? Well, I... Lana.
You understand what I mean, Dockery?
Yeah, I understand perfectly. Good night, honey. I'll see you in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the customs guy there, Doc? The same guy we talked to yesterday?
Yeah, looks like him. Come on, Buzz.
Hey, you know, you never did tell me what happened between you and Lana last night.
No, I didn't, did I?
No, you didn't.
Ah, bonjour, messieurs. It is a very fine morning, no?
Yeah, it's great. Say, we were wondering about something.
Oui, monsieur?
Well, we have reason to think Pierre Duvier may be aboard a schooner somewhere in the vicinity. Now, suppose we unload the cargo in your custody so we can use the plane to go...
Oh, but, monsieur, it is all taken care of. Now everything is how you say it. Okay, the cargo was removed last night.
What?
Oui, the permit is presented, the custom duty is paid, and everything is done.
Ooh. Done? But what about my transportation charges?
Well, if you have some financial arrangement with Monsieur Duvier, this you do not tell me, and I know nothing about.
Oh, fine.
Doc, we've been taken...
Yeah, maybe in more ways than one. This could be the reason Duvier's sister detained me last night.
I thought it was entertained, Doc.
Well, whatever it was.
Monsieur, such a tempest in the teapot. Monsieur Duvier undoubtedly told his agents to pay you also.
His agent?
Mais oui, he did not appear in person himself.
Well, who did?
His agent, Monsieur Trader Joe.
There's another little cluster of islands ahead, Doc. Might be in there somewhere.
Could be. Let's give them a look.
Oh, lady, no living man should be cursed with this head of mine.
Don't worry, Bill. A couple of more dives and you'll feel fine.
The schooner can't be much farther, Dockery, if they slipped in and loaded the cargo just last night.
No, but they might have headed in some other direction.
Hey, Doc, there's something down there, all right?
Yeah. Moving just north of that little island. It's a sail, Buzz. How about it, Bill? Is that Trader Joe's schooner or not?
Well, let me take a look, Lanny. Can't stand to look down so far. Makes me sick in the forepoint.
But you've got to look down. You're the only one who can identify it. Look now, Bill.
Look, I can't even breathe.
Quick!
Oh, let me see. Aye, that's Trader Joe. Not a doubt in the world of it.
Good.
Oh, my stomach, liver, and lights jumbled up like a sack of shaking.
Well, Doc, now we found them. What are we going to... Hey, what in the dickens...
Bullets! They used an automatic rifle down there on deck. Are you all right, Lana?
I mean, oui, but why do they shoot at us, Dockery?
The more important question is, what are we going to do about it?
You know something? If we could foul up their rigging some way, cripple them, maybe. Bill... Suppose some of those ropes that run between the tips of the
ropes,
mast were...
Ropes, laddie, they're not ropes, they're stays.
All right, stays, then. Suppose some of them were torn loose. Which ones would probably cause the most damage?
Well, now, let me see. They're carrying full sail and a quarter-inch sheet.
Yeah, stiff
breeze in the port bow.
Yeah.
The forestay, laddie, that's the one.
The forestay?
That's the one from the bowsprit to the top of the foremast. And if it snapped all of a sudden, it'd be likely to carry away both topmasts, the gaff blocks, maybe the foremast. And, well, they'd have a whole parcel of trouble on their hands.
Good. And that's the one we'll shoot for. Mind if I take over, Buzz?
Oh, no. Go right ahead, Doc. It's all yours.
Got it.
Only how are we going to snap it all of a sudden?
Hedge hopping with the landing gear down.
Take some slick jockeying, Dan. You only have about 2 feet of leeway.
Well, with a half ounce of luck, 2 feet's enough. Well, the airspeed's down to 115 miles an hour. Okay, want to lower the gear, Buzz?
You're the boss, Goofy.
All right. Steady now, girl. No air pockets. No slips. Right down the sidewalk, sweetheart. Steady, honey. Eye on the ball. Papa needs that COD to buy you lots of nice, rich gasoline, sweetie.
Gear down.
Check. Steady, baby. Here it comes, sweetie. Right on the line, darling. Right on the line.
Watch that left wing, Doc.
Easy, girl. Steady now. Steady.
There it is.
Well, say something, somebody.
Oh, Doc, I'm afraid to look.
Oh, my old heart's up in my mouth. But say, help me, laddie, you've done it. A foremast carried away and the main boom's in the water. She'll be making no more headway this day.
Then let's crack that radio and call the cutter. Papiti, here we come.
Hey, Doc. Doc, the
Air field's dead ahead. Should we land or go on?
Oh, we might as well land, Buzz. The hotel room's paid for.
It's about time something broke that up. I never could carry a tune.
Oh, come now, Dad. You're joshing.
No, it's a fact. That's why I took up flying.
A fool that you were. And you want to set it down, Doc?
Might as well.
I'll lower it again.
Do you think the patrol boat will get there in time, Doc Lee, before they do something to you?
Sure it will, honey. Plenty of time.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm telling you, laddie, I never felt so much love for old Mother Earth in my whole life before.
Well, you can tell her all about it in a couple of minutes.
Hey, Doc, we got trouble. What's
the matter, Buzz?
Landing gear jammed.
Oh, no.
Came up all right after we buzzed the schooner, but it won't go down now.
Maybe it's the hydraulic system. Try the emergency pump.
No, just took the cover off. Doc, the cross strut on the port wheel must have snapped.
Oh, no. Lana, look, you and Bill had better fasten your seatbelts. Put them up tight, huh?
Is something wrong, Doc?
Well, we've got a little mechanical trouble.
Oh?
It'll be all right. Is that radio warmed up, Buzz?
Yeah, it's been on quite a while, Doc.
Good. Flight 743, pilot Crane, calling Papeete Airfield, over.
Papeete Airfield, continue, monsieur.
Look, can you get some kind of an emergency fire and medical crew standing by down there right away?
You may we, monsieur, but for there is some trouble, perhaps?
Yeah, plenty. We're coming down in 10 minutes for a belly landing. Well, people, there's no point in any long speeches. This is it, so hang on.
I'm not afraid, Dockery.
Well, I am, laddie, but I'm too sick to care.
Now, one good thing, Doc, we're shoving up against a stiff headwind.
Yeah, the gliding angle's bad. I gotta clear those trees on the near side or risk nosing over.
You have to be a flat stall, all right. Doc, we've been in some pretty tight places together.
Oh, skip it, boy. Shut up. I know what you mean. Same here.
Check.
Monsieur, mademoiselle, all of us down here on the ground are praying for you. Good luck.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. 743, signing off.
Watch your trees, Doc.
Right. Now steady, old girl. You know what's coming, baby. It's up to you. Let's go down easy, baby. Go down nice and easy, sweetie.
We're over the trees, Doc.
Nose up, girlie. Come on, keep it up. Nose up, baby. Here we go. Here we go.
Make sure to try to express my gratitude for all you did for me would be only ridiculous. What could I possibly say?
Well, believe me, Pierre, I didn't count on all that happening.
Ah, but you were willing to take the risk of it happening, Monsieur Crane, and that is the important thing.
It was very wonderful.
Oh, now, quit it, both of you. I was out of my head, that's all. I've always been a little crazy.
Yeah, crazy with luck, Doc. That was the gentlest crash landing I ever saw.
Well, I almost forgot. The repairs which you need for your plane will be flown from Brisbane by the end of the week.
Oh, good.
I have taken the liberty of ordering them for my account.
Well, in that case, all's well that ends well.
Maybe. Except for one thing, monsieur. The bill for the repairs will take nearly all of my money. I cannot pay you the COD charges on the diving machinery.
Oh, but... Well, you see, that's the reason. That's what... Well, I... Oh, no.
But there is one way, monsieur. It will be a week before the repairs arrive. In that time, we can go to the wreck, recover the pearls, and return.
Recover them how? With that broken arm the boys gave you, you can't get into a diving suit.
No, monsieur, that is true. But you can.
Me? Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, it is very easy, Dockery. I will wear the other suit and dive with you.
Well, if it's so easy, you go after the pearls.
Lana does not have the strength to move this strong bar.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc. Be a nice change from flying.
Now, look, all of you. I'm not going to put on one of those rubber union suits and go dropping down into the briny deep, and that's final.
Okay, Doc, hold still now. Gotta bolt this faceplate on.
Faceplate? Buzz, I'm wearing 500 pounds of junk already.
Relax, Dad. Just act like Lana there, passive and docile.
I'm not the type.
Here you go now.
Boy, now I know how a sardine feels. Hey! Hey, you there? Nothing. So help me, if I ever take another COD job, I'll...
Ducky? Can you hear me, Ducky?
Oh, a telephone system, huh?
Mais oui. Ours are connected together, and both of them are connected to the one on deck. It's clever, no?
It's clever, yes.
We are almost ready. Pierre is putting on my faceplate now.
Yeah, so I see. Ouch!
Hold your head still, Doc, before I tie a bone knot in your air hose.
There'll come a day of reckoning, Buzz, so help me to...
Sure, Dad. Today's the day. Well, kiddies, you're on your own.
Are you ready, Dockery?
Well, as ready as I'll ever be.
Mr. Crane, you will lower yourself off the platform into the water and then slide down the rope slowly. Do you understand?
Got it.
Oh, you will love it, Dockery. It is only about 30 feet deep here and so beautiful.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, let's go.
You have the rope?
Yeah. Ready?
Take my hand. Now.
Hey! Hey, how about this?
Well, Duckery, was I not right?
Well, about it being beautiful? Hey, it's terrific. That pale green light everywhere and fish. Fish swimming around. And hey. Hey, what was that?
Where? Oh, it is, how you say, a baby octopus.
Well, I'll be darned.
Oh, look. We are on the bottom.
Yeah. Boy.
Careful, Dockery. Don't touch the car. It is very sharp.
Oh, yeah. Well, where do we go from here?
Well, the wreck is just a few yards away, but... Dockery, wait. I want to tell you something.
Oh? Well, what is it?
Do you remember the other night when I felt a certain way and I couldn't tell you how? So I had to show you?
Yes, Lana.
Well, I feel that way again, Dockery. Right now.
Oh, brother!
What's the matter, Dad?
Buzz? Buzz, don't you ever call me lucky again. A time like this, where am I? Inside a diving suit 30 feet underwater.
You have been listening to I Fly Anything, starring Dick Hames as Dockery Crane, with Georgia Ellis as June and George Fenneman as Buzz. There goes the teletype with next week's cargo load.
Hey, Doc, are you interested in water?
Not if I can get scotch. Why?
Well, I've got a hunch you're going to get awful wet if you take this one.
What one?
Will you fly a load of flood control equipment out to Doylesville, Mississippi?
Old Man River getting his water up again?
It looks bad this time, Doc. They figure it may be worse than 37. Well?
Well, sounds a lot more important than flying peanuts to Peoria.
What about the other job?
Well, if anything should come in, until this job is over, tell them outside of this emergency equipment, we don't fly anything.
I Fly Anything is produced by Frank Cooper and Cy Fisher. Tonight's story was by Les Crutchfield. Music by Basil Adlam. The program was directed by Dwight Houser. Lou Cook speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not. The official flower on Father's Day is the dandelion, because the more it's trampled on, the better it grows. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about an incredibly loyal soldier. Records of man's ability to live out his life over one or two centuries are actually commonplace. But the story of Jean Tourelle of Dijon, France, is spectacular in its longevity. Tourelle served in the French army over three consecutive centuries. He joined a regiment in 1699, fought and served through the 1700s, and was still serving France in 1802 when he was given a pension by Napoleon. Service that totaled 103 years. Believe it or not.
Signal gasoline. Let every traffic signal remind you, you do go farther with Signal gasoline. Yes, you do go farther
with Signal. The Signal Oil Company and your neighborhood Signal dealer bring you another curious story by The Whistler. Tonight, the man who bought death.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Love makes the world go around, so they say, but it also causes a lot of trouble. Take, for instance, the case of Eddie Ford and Ruth Sprague. They were in love, had been for a long time, childhood sweethearts and all. The kind of thing that usually brings nothing but happiness and good fortune. But Eddie and Ruthie were born on the wrong side of town. They grew up on Second Avenue, and that's not exactly the best environment. Eddie's love for Ruth began to show itself in the wrong way. At 7, he stole an apple for her. At 14, he stole a car to take her for a ride. At 17, he'd spent his first night in jail. And at 22, he is firmly established as a small-time crook about town. But he and Ruthie are still in love, just waiting for him to knock over a big enough score to get married. Meanwhile, Ruth works as a dancer in a cheap nightclub. And sometimes Eddie goes over and sits at a table with her between floor shows.
Hey, what's the matter with you tonight, Eddie?
Oh, I'm sick of being broke.
Oh, why don't you get a job?
What do you think I am, a jerk? Working for 20 bucks a week? I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, I know it, Eddie.
I know how I could have plenty of dough, though, if I could get some operating cash.
Yeah, well, how much?
All I need is a C-note.
Might as well be a million. Of course, if I had $100, I'd give it to you. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Eddie, I thought I told you to stay out of here.
You told me. Who do you think you are, a cop, Pete?
Go on. I don't want you in the place. You're a cheap grafter, and I don't want you hanging around the girls.
Eddie's all right, Pete.
Look, if he don't stay out of here, I'm going to fire you too, Ruthie. Oh. All right, Eddie, take distance. I got a job for Ruthie.
Yeah, what kind of a job?
The kind of job I pay you for, baby. There's a guy over there who's throwing money around like confetti, and he wants to meet you.
Oh. Oh, that big moose with the brown suit, I suppose.
Yeah, that's him. He's smiling at you, Ruthie.
Is that what you call it?
Hey, maybe you better go over to his table, sugar.
Yeah. Maybe Eddie needs some dough.
Shove off, Pete. Will you look? And I'll be right over.
Okay. Now, there's nothing personal unless you understand, Eddie.
Just don't want you in here, that's all. I'll see you backstage after the show, huh, Ruthie?
Mm-hmm. All right, Eddie. Eddie.
Huh?
You love me a little, huh?
You know I do, honey. And if this guy's loaded, I want him. You understand?
Okay, Eddie. Well, I'll see you after the show, huh?
Okay.
Yes, Eddie and Ruth are in love, but business is business. So Ruthie goes to join the big moose in the brown suit. She walked up to his table, smiled prettily, and said...
Hello.
Hello, baby. Sit down. Build yourself a lap.
Thanks. You're on the town tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, and you're going to join me, youngster.
Oh, sounds like an interesting way to spend the evening. You know, that bottle looks like champagne.
That's funny. That's just what it is. And I bought it for you, lovely. Nothing's too good for Frankie Ferrari's girlfriend. You're in the big leagues now, sweetheart.
You talk a great game.
Stick around and watch me play it, baby. I just hit town tonight, and I'm fat with that stuff. Want to help me spend it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I got a lot of talent that way.
Well, what are you doing after the show tonight?
Oh, nothing. Well, that is nothing that you're not going to be in on.
You're a lippy little dame, aren't you? I like them lippy. I think you and I are going to get along, baby. Keep the next couple of weeks open.
If you
You're going to be busy.
Well, look, let's talk about that later, huh? Because I got to get backstage. Floor show goes on in a few minutes.
Okay.
I'll meet you out in front 5 minutes after the show's over, okay?
5 minutes? You must dress like a fireman.
I don't waste time at anything, Frankie.
So that's the way love works on Second Avenue. Ruth steers the big bankroll Eddie's way. Well, that's one way of filling a hope chest. After the show, Eddie's waiting backstage to give her the proper instructions.
Now look, with his 12 o'clock closing, this guy's going to be looking for a speak when he meets you. See? Now you steer him down 12th Street, and you pass the alley between Washington and Adams. I'll let him have my persuader behind his ear, and you run. You bring back the first cop you can find. That'll keep you in the clear. I'll have the dough and be gone a long time before the gendarmes get there.
Yeah, okay, Eddie, I'll do it. Maybe this will be our big break.
Okay, okay. Down 12th Street, you're leading him to a speak, see?
Well, this looks like it might be very interesting, doesn't it, Eddie? You scurry out the back door of a nightclub while Ruthie makes a quick change and meets the amorous Frankie out in front of the club.
Well, where do we go from here, Curly Locks? What do you feel in the mood for?
Oh, I feel in the mood for fun. And it's the 12 o'clock closing, silly.
Oh, that's for the squares, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you know any joints that stay open?
Oh, yeah. I know one, but it's pretty expensive.
Oh, dough don't mean anything, baby. Where is this joint?
Over on 12th Avenue.
Shall we get a cab?
No, it's only about 2.5 blocks.
All right, so we'll walk.
Oh, I love to be out. Walking around at this time of night. Not this time of year. Ain't the fresh air just wonderful?
I don't know. I never noticed it.
Oh, you would notice it if you had to work in a gin mill like I do.
Yeah, what's a beautiful dame like you doing dancing a flea bag like the Club Moderne?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you ever had a better offer?
Want to make me one?
Could be if things work out.
Oh, this is 12th Street. We've turned down here.
What's the matter, kid? Don't you like me?
Oh, sure I like you. I love big men with money.
Looks like I'm made to order, chicken. I weigh 260 and I make all the money I want. No limit.
Yeah, well, how do you do it?
Well, I'm an operator, and that's all the conversation we're going to have on that subject. Hey, this is a nice dark street. How about a kiss?
Oh, no, not here. The street's only a block away. Can't you wait till we get there?
Okay, baby. I like my dames with spirit, up to a point.
Stick around. You know, Frankie, I wouldn't be at all surprised if you turned out to be the kind of man that I could learn to love.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, listen, baby.
Oh,
run, will you? Give me a couple of seconds, then yell for the cops.
Yeah, well, Eddie, is he dead?
Beat it, beat it. Go on.
Help!
Do those signs mean? Ring around the moon, they say, means rain tomorrow. Rosy sunset said to forecast a fair morning. And that big black circle sign with the yellow letter spelling signal gasoline? Well, there's the sign that never fails to mean most miles from your gas coupon. Yes, more and more wise Western drivers are daily discovering that it's not just a slogan, it's a fact. You do go farther with signal gasoline. And for good reason. One, true to its 14-year tradition of quality, Signal Oil Company is still producing the very finest Signal gasoline that can be marketed today. And two, the famous Signal formula still places the emphasis on mileage. So if you haven't tried Signal gasoline in your car, may I suggest there never was a better time nor a better reason for looking up the station in your neighborhood displaying Signal's yellow and black circle signs. And getting acquainted with your Signal gasoline dealer. And now, back to the Whistler.
Yes, love on Second Avenue can lead to all sorts of things, like the slugging of a big spender in a dark alley. And Ruth carries out her part of the bargain like an old hand at crime. She runs screaming from the scene and brings the cops down in a hurry.
Yeah, it happened right here.
Oh, there's nobody here now. What's the matter with you? You've been drinking?
No. I tell you, I was walking along here with a man.
What was his name?
His name was Frank, or old Frank something or other. I can't remember his last name.
You better change your brand, lady. You're having hallucinations.
Somebody in the alley, they must have lost their marbles.
Oh, yeah? I ought to take you down to the station.
I ain't done anything.
Okay, okay, get out of here. Go on home and don't be bothering policemen. Take it away, Jerry. This is a false alarm.
That's funny, Ruth. You know that Eddie sapped Frank Ferrari to the sidewalk just a few minutes ago. And now there's no sign of either Eddie or Ferrari. That's very funny. You can't see the humor in the situation, though. And you hurry to Nick's all-night restaurant to keep your rendezvous with Eddie. He's there in a rear booth waiting for you.
Hello, baby.
Hello, Eddie. Hey, look, the funniest thing happened.
Keep it down to a college cheer, will you, baby? Yeah. Sit down.
Eddie, I waited to give you a chance to get away, you know, before I started to scream to the police. By the time I got back for the police, well, it couldn't have been over just 3 or 4 minutes. Well, there was nobody there.
You're nuts. That guy was as cold as a witch's foot.
Well, he wasn't there, Eddie. Police thought I was crazy.
Gosh, I must be losing my touch. The guy must have come to and beat it. Or probably just didn't want to get mixed up with the newspapers or something.
Yes, sir.
I thought you said he had a lot of dough on him.
Well, he did, Eddie. I saw it.
Well, nothing but chicken feed. There it is. 78 bucks, 3 20s, a 10, 5 and 3 singles.
You're lying to me, Eddie.
Well, me? Why would I lie to you? I shook him down. That's all the dough he had.
Petty, larceny punk.
Now, take it easy there, baby.
I know he had $100 bill, because he showed it to me.
There wasn't a C-note on him when I got him.
That's true, Eddie. You understand?
Hey, what's the matter with you, baby?
I don't mind you robbing anybody else. And I never beat when you spent every cent that I could make. But I won't stand for you lying to me, Eddie.
No dame talks to me like that.
Oh, Eddie. Keep the $100 bill. It'll never do you any good. It'll do nothing but get you into trouble, and I hope it kills you.
So, after all of these years, the love affair between Eddie Ford and Ruthie Sprague hit the rocks. And just because Eddie stole $100, he did steal it, you know. Frank Ferrari was carrying $178 when Eddie knocked him unconscious and robbed him in that alley between Washington and Adams. Eddie hated to lose Ruth, but business is business. Next day, he called on Bill Larimer at Bill's house in the suburbs. Eddie'd always wanted to do business with Larimer. You see, Larimer was a wholesaler in counterfeit money. Wholesalers sell it for 20 cents on the dollar to the shovers. Those are the people who actually cash it. Eddie had always wanted to be a big-time shover. He'd had a little experience, and he knew all the dodges. So this morning, he walks into Bill Larimer's apartment.
I want to buy $500 worth of ten.
Yeah? What are you going to use for money?
This C-note?
$100 bill, huh?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Go on, look it over. It was made by the mint.
Yeah. It's good, all right. You know, there's something about a $100 bill. It feels different, you know?
Yeah. I like them. You could square a lot of beasts if you got enough of them.
You're not kidding. Hey, George.
Yeah?
How'd you like to print up some hundreds for me?
1, 10, 20, 100. Don't make no difference to me.
Come here. Yeah, take a look at this C note. Did you make a good plate on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd photograph old here. I could swing it.
Gee, wouldn't it be a little tough shoving hundreds?
With all the dough that is floating around these days? That'd be duck soup. Push a couple of those a day, Eddie, you'd be in the dough.
Yeah. Well, how about it? You gonna make some up?
How do you say, Jerry? Will you buy them? I'll take $1,000 worth the day they're finished.
Okay, Bill. You just placed an order.
Well, give me those 50 tens. I got to go get rid of them so I can buy some of those hundreds.
Better not try to shove hundreds in that suit. You got to get up front to get away with that, Eddie. Take some of the dough you make off those tens and buy yourself a front. You're going to be in the dough, kid.
So Eddie took a little trip out of town and spread his phony $10 bill. In railway stations, department stores, restaurants, and grocery stores, and was never questioned. He was gone about 10 days. When he came back, he thought of calling Ruthie, but decided he'd better call Bill first. He was pretty excited when Bill told him the hundreds were ready. He went right out there. Bill was glad to see him. He showed him the $100 bills, and they were beauties. That George was a craftsman, Bill said.
They are ready. They're perfect. The best job George ever did.
Yeah. See, their beauties, all right.
Think you can pass them?
I wouldn't be afraid to pass those at the Federal Reserve Bank.
Look, here's the 100 you brought in. I'm going to mix it up with the rest of these. Now, see if you can pick it up.
Gosh, I can't tell. Which one is it?
I could hardly tell myself if I wasn't an expert on it.
Hey, you been selling these C-notes to everybody as the town flooded with them?
I haven't sold a patch of them, even. Just got them from George today. You got virgin territory, son.
Oh, that's good. Okay, here's $100. Give me 5 of them.
5? That all I tell you, Gus?
No.
I'm not going to sell you $100. Worth. Give me 200.
Well, okay, here you are.
Now you're stuck in business.
Well, do you think I can pass C notes in this outfit?
Yeah, you look like a gentleman. You saved some dough for this, didn't you?
$85. Counterfeit money.
Where are you stopping?
Oh, I'm stopping at the Towers, best hotel in town. Oh, boy, you ought to see my luggage. Cowhide, real cowhide.
Yeah? Now you're operating, Eddie. Let me give you one tip. You can probably get away with spreading a couple of these centuries here in town. Probably won't be caught up with. Then they're going to start watching. So you better get out of town.
Oh, don't you worry. In the first place, I'm not going to get nabbed. And in the second, if I do, I'm not going to talk.
If you do, you'll be saying your last words, Eddie.
Yes, Eddie, be careful. Now you're in it for keeps. In the big time. A real big shot. So now you decide to call Ruth. You find her at home, too. And you make a date to meet her at the Towers, in the cocktail lounge. You want her to see your new clothes. Want to impress her with the fact that you're living at the best hotel in town. Plenty of money. You can't be blamed for wanting to gloat a little, can you? So Ruthie meets you, and you sip and sip your drink.
Well, honey, how about letting bygones be bygones, and let's start all over again, huh?
Yeah, but that was a dirty trick, though, now, wasn't it? You stole that $100 from me.
Oh, but you framed the thing so I could get the dough to start operating, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd have given you the money, Eddie, but, well, I just don't like the idea of you lying to me. That's what I was mad about.
Did you say was mad? You're not mad anymore?
No. No, I'm not mad at you. I could never be mad at you.
Hey, You want to see something pretty?
Yes, yes.
Take a gander at this.
Well, $100 deal.
That's right. I'm lousy with them, baby. You know where I got them?
No.
Well, what you don't know won't hurt you, baby. Look, I know you got to go to rehearsal, but how about me coming up to your place about 5 o'clock?
Oh, 12.
Why don't you take the night off? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy some presents for you.
Oh.
And I want you to be there when I bring them.
Okay, Eddie. I'll be home at 5. But look, I got to go now.
Okay. How about a gift?
Here? In front of all these people?
Well, sure. You're uptown now, baby. You can get away with things here that they'd never stand for down where we live. We're in a big time now, honey. For good.
Don't be so sure of yourself, Eddie. In your racket, that's not good. Take it easy. But you can't get over being a big shot, can you? You can't resist going to a swank department store to buy your girl a real present.
Say, miss.
Yes, may I help you?
Yes, yes. I want to buy a lapel pin for my girlfriend. I don't know much about things like that. Would you mind helping me out?
Well, of course, I'd be glad to.
Oh.
Did you see anything in this tray that you think she might like?
Well, she's a blonde, about 5'1", blue eyes, and wears black most of the time.
Oh, well, let me see. I think she'd probably like this pin here very much.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much is that?
Well, it would be just a minute. $35. I have to add the luxury tax to this. Oh, that would be about $42.
Yes. Oh, that's okay. Can you take it out of this?
Oh, my, $100 bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's all I have.
Oh, well, of course, that's perfectly all right. I'll have the change for you in a moment.
Yes, Eddie, wait for your change. You stand there smoking your cigarette, and after a few minutes, you begin to worry, don't you? You try not to show it, but you sense that something's wrong. Then you look around and see him, the man with the unmistakable aura of a store detective. He comes up the aisle and stops a few paces from him. Something's wrong, Eddie. But they never arrest a man for shoving queer dough. They follow him, try to find out where his source is. You've only got one of the bills on you, Eddie. You can say you won it in a crap game. They can't prove anything. But then you turn and see them, two uniformed policemen coming down the aisle. And suddenly you're not so sure. You're not calm now, Eddie. You're scared, panicking. You've got to get out. Run. Run, Eddie, run! You got away all right, Eddie. But you've got a bullet hole in your shoulder. You switch cabs 5 times and cover your trail. But your handkerchief won't stop up the blood that's pouring from your shoulder. You've got to get attention. And Ruth is waiting for you. You finally get to her little flat. You get out of the cab a block away from it. And wait until the cab pulls away before you start walking. You're tired when you get there. Weak from loss of blood.
Yeah. Now, let me in.
Oh, Eddie, what's happened to you?
I don't know. I think the cops in this town are going crazy.
Oh, honey, you've been shot.
Yeah. Yeah, they got me through the shoulder.
Well, what are you going to do, Eddie?
I'm going to stay here till he dies down.
Well, come on in the bedroom, honey. You got to lie down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel so good.
Now, let me take a look at that wound.
Wait a minute. Let me lay down, will you?
Oh, baby, how did this happen?
I tell you, the cops are going nuts.
Oh, wait here, honey, let me put the pillow on your
shoulder. I think the best thing to do with a baby is just to lay still so it stops bleeding.
What happened, Eddie?
Oh, well, morning when I got to town, I bought some phony $100 bills. Counterfeits, you know.
Shoving queer money?
I don't go pure on you. Of course I've been shoving queer money. What do you think? Robbed a bank?
Well, then why did they shoot him?
I don't know. I don't get it. Even if they knew the bill was queer, they wouldn't send for the riot squad and start shooting up the department store.
Oh, don't you think we ought to call a doctor?
Oh, sure, yeah. That'd be a brainy move. But... Who's that?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't expecting
that. I better get in that closet and hide. Yeah. Whoever it is, get rid of now, will you?
Yeah, well, of course.
Your name, Ruth Sprague?
Yeah?
Looking for a friend of yours, a guy by the name of Eddie Forbes. Know where he is?
Well, no, I ain't seen him.
Yeah, we'll just come in and take a look around.
Oh, no, but Jack, come in. You have to touch.
No? Oh. All right, boys, take the joint down. What's the matter, Sprague? Cut your fingers?
Huh?
What's that blood doing on the floor?
Hey, the guy stood there for a while and went through that door over there.
Nice of him to leave a trail like that. Get your guns out, boys. This guy's hotter than a 4-alarm fire.
Oh, no.
You stay out of the way, Miss Sprague. There's liable to be some fireworks. We're going in after that guy. We're coming in after you, Ford. When I kick this door in, be standing there with your hands up or we start blasting.
Yeah, come and get me.
Oh, no, Eddie, no. No.
Kick that gun out of his hand, Sergeant.
Cold meat, Sergeant. Hey. Trying to say something.
You haven't got long to live, Ford. You want to say anything, spit it out.
What's the matter with you, cops? You crazy? Shooting a guy for having queer dough.
What are you talking about?
Oh, no. Go on, Judge.
Okay, must have been nuts. What was he talking about, queer dough?
That's what you were after him for, wasn't it? Passing counterfeit money?
No. Where'd you ever get that idea? We had this guy bracketed for that $250,000 bank robbery in Capital City a couple of weeks ago.
He even tried to spend some of the money today. That's how we got on his tail. Professor will return in just a moment with the strange ending of tonight's story. Meantime, here's a $64 question that every driver should have a ready answer for these days. If one of your tires should suddenly be ruined, what would you... Tires are still hard, mighty hard to find, which makes now, before you have tire trouble, the time to take advantage of your Signal dealer's complete tire service. By catching and repairing small injuries before they spread and ruin the carcass, and by suggesting retreading before the tread is worn too thin, your Signal dealer can add thousands of miles of tire wear. And because of your Signal dealer's experience, plus modern equipment and the best of materials, you're assured the quality kind of job that can make such a big difference in tire life. So make it a point soon to stop at one of those friendly stations displaying Signal's yellow and black circle signs and have your tires inspected. There's no one who can give you finer or more complete tire service than your neighborhood Signal gasoline dealer. And now, back to the Whistler.
Yes, Eddie Forbes died for his crime. But the police were after him not for passing counterfeit money, the crime for which he was guilty. No, they cornered him for a crime he didn't commit, a crime he didn't even know had been committed. Remember how Eddie got that $100 bill from the heavy spender Ruthie steered his way? The counterfeiters made an engraving of that same bill, printed a few hundred of them, and sold some back to Eddie. But every cashier in the country was watching for the serial number on that bill and on all the counterfeit made from it. The heavy spender had picked it up illegitimately from a bank in Capital City. And Eddie died because he didn't know that. Ruth, her wish came true. Remember when she was sore at Eddie for lying to her? She made the wish that that $100 bill he held out on her would cause his death. Yes. Wishes do come true sometimes, and love ends up in funny ways.
Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal Gasoline and Motor Oil and fine quality automotive accessories, and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program, directed by George W. Allen, with tonight's story by Ray Buffum, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Marvin Miller speaking, and suggesting that you let every traffic signal remind you that you do go farther with Signal gasoline. Yes, you do go farther with Signal. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with more. Between now and then, you can find more old-time radio at relicradio.com, alongside links to everything else Relic Radio. If you'd like to help support the show, you can do so from the website as well. Click on the donate button right on the top of the site to find more information about that. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.